broadcasting from the heart of Cascadia. You are listening to KOWA 106.5 LPFM in Olympia, Washington, or you are listening to Hollow Earth Radio, soon to be KHUH 100.3 LPFM in Seattle, Washington. It is time to prepare yourselves, because Cascadia is about to be struck by the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio, and suddenly, you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Well, hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! For you are about to be struck by the thunderbolts of truth and justice! Yup, here it comes! Yes, kids! The Thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary. I have a calendar of all the activist-related events in Thurston County, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes. So off of the couch and into the streets, Cascadia. It is time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse. Though I'm sure even the apocalypse will wait until we have had a cup of coffee. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for April 21st, 2017. We've been battling evildoers around here.
Fine shooting, just fine.
Since 2012.
You crazy eyed fool.
What are we gonna do here?
Start folding in. I'll come in from this side.
Now listen, I'm here too, boys.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronnie.
Hi, he's a great man, isn't he?
Yes. This is a special time, a special tape that I think's gonna just, well, bless everyone. We all got a little something special on this tape.
Look, Ronnie, I'm touch, I think, for years and years.
Country and well, world.
So, did you think that being a B-grade movie actor was a questionable qualification to be the president of the United States? Well, our current president is literally a cartoon character. Yes, kids. The Rump has been appearing as a character in Doonesbury for decades. And according to Gary Trudeau, the author of Doonesbury, the Rump was the only character that he ever satirized, wherein Mr. Trudeau could simply inject him into the Doonesbury reality by having him saying things that he actually said. And by doing things that he actually did. According to Mr. Trudeau, the Rump is just a natural-born cartoon character.
Hey,
when it came to incorporating the rum into the Doonesbury reality, Mr. Trudeau did not have to change anything. The rum was made for the role. And so, the Thunderbolt decided to question President Rump.
Are you a cartoon?
Some time ago, I saw the need for folks to laugh and sing. The world was pretty serious. I could lighten up some things. So I put on this red jersey with a cheerful yellow A. I put a smile on people's faces and brightened up their day.
It's a chipmunk.
He ain't no dang cartoon.
I know I'm in good company. They laughed at Einstein too. Columbus was another one, and Bishop Tutu too. So when you see the yellow A and big red cap appear, say howdy, Mr. Alvin, and you better be sincere. Just because I make you laugh don't mean I'm just a
Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Quaker Puffed Rice Sparkies and Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. Those delicious, nutritious breakfast cereals shot from guns. Yes, shot from guns.
Can't stop. Get up in there.
We'll just sit back and wait.
Bursting forth with gigantic grains of goodness.
They want shooting, we give them their money's worth. Come on!
We'll just sit back and wait. Guess you can start on the harmonica now, Jingles.
All right. Better put that fancy gun in your hand. You might need it.
All right. I'll take my gun.
Now we're going to have that talk.
My money.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns. You dig.
While a lot of people are finally waking up, it is not near enough, and it might already be too late. We now have a coterie of full-fledged fascists sitting in the White House. They are also dominating both the national legislature and the federal courts. The president has the legal authority to declare a national emergency. And he can then legally suspend the Constitution. And I can absolutely guarantee you that while the rump is keeping us distracted with this outrageous barrage of clown-like antics, his minions are very busy setting things up to do just that.
You are now rocking with
the Anarchy.
Don't freak out! Don't freak out!
And as soon as they have the infrastructure set up, then all they need is a major terrorist attack.
Do not freak out.
And soon thereafter, you will see cattle cars coming to a neighborhood near you.
Freak out.
Do not freak out.
Spring is about to spring. It's going to be nice weather to shut down a country. Let us now contemplate some of the blessings that Donald Trump has bestowed upon us.
Well, we're moving on now.
Because if you think about it, Donald Trump is doing us all a favor. In that, while he is implementing policies that are pure fascism, he is being both entirely too obvious, and he is being entirely too oblivious about it. And frankly, he really isn't very good at it. Yes, his big lies keep falling flat. While he is definitely getting ready to mass imprison American citizens, I am thinking that there are going to be too many of us for his prison machine to handle. And I'm thinking that some of those soldiers are going to have grandmothers who are out there protesting.
It is the collection for which Clipper electro disco music.
What the rump is doing is that he is giving fascism a bad name. He is using all of the very tricks that I have been describing to you for years here in the Thunderbolt. And he is exposing them to public view. He is being so obvious that even the most naive can see what he is doing. Yes, with his bumbling and stumbling and doing so many incredibly stupid things, it is almost as if he has put a clown mask on fascism. And everyone can not only see the mask, but they also know what is there underneath the mask. Yes, kids, the rump is providing the same service to humanity as that performed by such luminaries as Adolf Hitler and Joseph McCarthy.
Are you crazy?
Yes, he is providing us with a walking, living example that can actually be pointed at and studied of how a truly foul predator consolidates and manipulates political structures. And we can thus learn more about what we need to look out for in the future. The rump called out the media machine for a bunch of lying, corrupt tools of the corporate elite. Which is, of course, exactly what they are. The rump's answer, though, is to completely marginalize the media into complete insignificance. But not because he wants them to start doing their jobs and holding officials accountable, but only because he does not want anyone to hold him accountable. The Rump also correctly pointed out that we have spent several trillion dollars with a G in the Middle East. Yet the Middle East is now much worse than it was before we started. But his answer to this is to vastly increase military spending right when we need to seriously slash military spending. And he is going to slash funding for social programs, environmental protection, and corporate regulation right at the time when we need to empower poor people. We need to implement emergency measures as far as the environment is concerned. And right when we need to start throwing most of the Wall Street banksters into prison. And so, yet another blessing that is being bestowed upon us by the rump is that, almost unique amongst politicians, the rump is completely reliable. In that, you can always count on him to do the complete opposite of whatever it is that he should be doing.
Time sure flies. Do you only know how to play, or do you know how to shoot?
I'm going to kill you with this one bullet if you try to take his gun. So, come on, take it. If you can.
Hand it over. You'll be dead before you can draw the hammer back.
That's so.
Good shooting. Very good shooting.
In April of 2011, we occupied the State Capitol building here in Olympia. After 3 days, we were forcefully evicted, and about a dozen people were arrested. We made a lot of noise, we got a lot of press, and a lot of attention. and we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. But after the dust settled, almost everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, a few months later, the Occupy movement sprang into being. And we here in Olympia occupied Heritage Park. We were forcefully evicted several months later. We made a lot of noise. We got a lot of press and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. After the dust had settled, though, everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, in 2012, the Idle No More movement sprung up. Now, I did not participate in the Idle No More movement directly, but they made a lot of noise. They got a lot of press and a lot of attention. And they scored a couple of legislative victories that they likely would not have been able to pull off without their movement. It would now seem, though, that they have largely dispersed and they did not really accomplish much overall. And now we have the Black Lives Matter movement and the Standing Rock movement. They are both still active, and their ultimate fates are yet to be determined. But it would not be out of line to expect a similar such trajectory. However, here is the thing.
Edit.
A lot of people made a lot of connections at the Capitol occupation, and it was there, in fact, where I originally began compiling the mailing list that eventually became the mailing list for the Thunderbolt. Yes, almost everyone moved on to other things, but a lot of people stayed in touch and continued working together on some of those other things. In other words, a network was created. It was the same with the Occupy movement. There are now a whole bunch of people who are now activists who would not have been activists without the Occupy movement. And there are a whole bunch of occupiers now on the Thunderbolt mailing list that would not have been there if not for Occupy. Yes, most people moved on, but yet more networks were created. And I am confident the same thing happened with the Idle No More, and that this process is now happening with Black Lives Matter and with Standing Rock. We are all building networks. There are thousands of people in Olympia alone who are ready for action and just need a credible direction to go. And I am thinking that this very likely is the case all over the country. What I am hoping is that everyone is maybe going to finally figure out that all of our battles are ultimately the same battle, and that all of these networks we have been building over the years will all then coalesce into a great final movement where we can finally get 3% of us out onto the streets all at the same time. And then we can finally force them once and for all to either voluntarily dismount their high horses or to get knocked off of them and onto their asses.
Edit.
All the way up the tube.
Drop your gun, Phil.
Don't do it. He killed Sal, but we got four guns and he's only got one bullet left in that Derringer.
One's better than none.
We got him.
Let's see if that's true.
All the way up to six if I had to. Maybe faster than you.
One. When I say three, draw. One.
If you say two, I'll kill you.
Keep counting.
Two.
Three.
I'll kill the next man who speaks.
Gosh, what excitement. Strike!
Hey, wait a minute. Good shooting.
No, don't shoot again.
That wasn't Bill, that was me. Jingles, and don't break for that door again.
Stop him here.
Climate change is the issue of our time. Yet not only is it being almost completely ignored by world leaders, but here in the United States, our new leader is denying its very existence. So here's the latest. Optimistic calculations are that without immediate emergency measures to deal with runaway climate change, we will experience complete societal collapse by 2030. The pessimists are saying it will be by 2020. They also disagree about what will get us first. Will it be rising sea levels, food shortages, the mass displacement of hundreds of millions of humans, water shortages, floods, much more powerful storms and hurricanes happening much more often, massive wildfires, nuclear war, being stuck on a desert island with Justin Bieber?
Well, that doesn't beat all. What's going on anyway? Hickok, Jingle, Sourdough, all of them vanishing into thin air. There's something downright weird about this whole thing.
Already happening, but the ice is actually melting exponentially faster than even the most pessimistic predictions of just a few years ago. A 3-foot sea level rise would flood all of the major river deltas in Asia where they grow all of their rice and grain. However, predictions based upon the new figures are saying that we're not looking at a mere 2 or 3 feet of sea level rise, but we're going to be dealing with up to 6 feet by the end of the century. Well, there goes Bangladesh and Florida. Some are now predicting a 10-foot plus sea level rise in the not too distant future. However, if I were a betting man, I would wager that food shortages are probably going to be the thing that will bring us down first. Last year, the average temperature in Moscow for the month of July was 14 degrees Fahrenheit above the norm. And as a result, they lost 40% of their grain harvest. This meant that the world market ended up with 40 million tons less grain than had been anticipated. And this caused a shock to world grain prices, which caused a shock to world food prices, with world hunger rising right along with those food prices.
One minute, Dixie, and a two beat.
In a way, though, the world dodged a bullet. Had that heat wave been centered upon Chicago rather than Moscow, and if the United States had lost 14% of its grain crop as a result,
she'd be coming round the mountain when she comes.
Then the world would have lost 160 million tons of grain rather than the 40 million that they did lose. And had that happened, humanity would have had the lowest per capita grain stocks in recorded human history, and grain prices would have truly skyrocketed, causing a major worldwide famine. Many of the other grain exporters would have started holding on to their stocks in order to feed their own people, thus exacerbating the problem even further. And countries with oil would have started trading oil for grain. But most countries have neither oil nor grain. And they would have simply been up a certain creek without a paddle. So desperate people will do desperate things. We would have seen food riots like we've never seen before. Governments would have started toppling left and right. And demagogues would have ruled the day. It would have been every country for itself, and it would have been an explosion of mass insanity and violence. No one anywhere would have been looking at, nor would anyone have any concerns about the bigger picture. And that is how close we are to the edge. In 2008, the entire world economy completely collapsed because of a manufactured housing bubble in the United States. Everything is integrated these days, and there are several areas of the world where they are currently pumping up major food bubbles. They are overpumping aquifers. They are overplowing marginal lands where erosion is now creating dust bowl-like conditions across vast swaths of our planet. This is not only happening all over, but it is happening with all three of the largest grain producers on the planet, i.e. China, India, and the United States.
And so on.
Saudi Arabia is actually the cutting edge on this front, though. Saudi Arabia has been self-sufficient in wheat production for over 20 years. But they did this by pumping water from a fossil aquifer, or an aquifer that does not recharge. 2 years ago, Saudi Arabia announced that their aquifer was about to run dry and that they were going to phase out grain production over the next 8 years. But their wheat harvest has shrunk by over 70% in the 2 years since that announcement was made, and it is now evident that the Saudis are actually going to be out of the wheat business altogether within the next 2 years. In Yemen, their aquifer is also about to go dry. Grain production has collapsed in Syria as well, partly due to the war, but partly due to water shortages caused by drought. Falling grain production due to water shortages is a completely new phenomenon. The truly monstrous food bubbles, though, are in India and China. According to the World Bank, 175 million people in India are being fed by grain that is being produced by overpumping and depleting aquifers, which by definition is a short-term fix. In China, that figure is estimated to stand at 130 million. And in addition to all of that, when the Himalayan glaciers melt, the major rivers feeding both India and China, and the massive irrigation systems that are utterly dependent upon those rivers, are going to experience seriously reduced flows at certain times of the year, thus further devastating their rice and grain crops.
And so on. And so on.
And as for the earth itself,
and so on.
Well, she thinks the long game. There have been times when our entire planet was covered with a thick sheet of ice. There have been times when our planet had palm trees and alligators at the South Pole. Climate change happens. The Earth and life on the Earth has so far survived all of it. If humanity and most of the other life forms currently existing were to disappear, the Earth will just shrug her shoulders and move on to new things. She might even give a sigh of relief, similar to that one gives just after finally escaping from a bad relationship. But that would be anthropomorphizing the Earth. Huh. Whatever. If humans were to disappear, the sun would still come up in the morning. Life would still be there, and it would still be adapting. And maybe the next experiment in intelligence and self-awareness will be harbored by a species more fit for it than humanity has proven to be. Maybe, though, humanity was not a complete waste. Perhaps our job was to provide an object lesson for future civilization builders upon some of the pitfalls to be aware of when experimenting with intelligence, self-awareness, and especially with civilizations. But you know, I would really rather not disappear. My granddaughter rocks. My granddaughter should have an awesome dream world to live in. Not some fiery nightmare. The bottom line here, it might be too late, but then again, it might not be. It's really hard to tell, actually. As for myself, well, I'm not really ready to throw in the towel quite yet. So it's time to get to work. And thus ends part one of The Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What You Can Do About It. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise and give a warm round of applause for the Olympia Action Alert for the week of April 21st through April 28th, 2017. It's the Olympia Action Alert for Saturday, April 22nd. It's Earth Day, and it's the March for Science. This will be at 11 a.m. on the steps of the Washington State Capitol, 416 Sid Snyder Avenue, Southwest. Sid Snyder is spelled S-I-D-S-N-Y-D-E-R, and I got this message through Olympia 4. The March for Science is an international movement led by organizers distributed around the globe. This movement is taking place because of the simultaneous realization by thousands of people who value science in their lives that staying silent is no longer an option. Marches are planned for Washington, D.C., Olympia, Washington, and more than 300 other places in the U.S. and worldwide. Olympia's march will start at 11 a.m. at the State Capitol steps and move down to Heritage Park for a rally featuring speakers and information booths. The March for Science is about supporting the public's understanding of the scientific consensus and safeguarding the scientific community. To volunteer with your help, you can contact marchforscience.olympia@gmail.com. Their website is marchforscience.com. So again, this is the Earth Day March for Science, Saturday, April 22nd, 11 a.m. at the Washington State Capitol steps, 416 Sid Snyder Avenue, Southwest. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Sunday, April 23rd, it's a Just Housing Benefit, a drive in the country, which is a play. This will be at 6:30 p.m. at the Evergreen State College in the Communications Building, room 117. And I got this message from Renata. Sunday evening, a performance benefiting Just Housing. A friend of Just Housing is donating the proceeds from their Sunday play performance toward the cause. A Drive in the Country is a play in two parts. The doors close at 7 p.m., so arrive before that time, and the play lasts for about an hour, and it will be followed by a Q&A. Finger food and beverages will be provided. So again, this is a play, A Drive in the Country, to benefit Just Housing. Sunday, April 23rd, 6:30 p.m. at the Evergreen State College in the Communications Building, room 117. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Tuesday, April 25th, it's the Olympia Movement for Justice and Peace Organizing Meeting. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Olympia Center, 222 Columbia Street Northwest. And I got this message from Robert. At the last OMJP meeting on March 28th, we discussed many events that were coming up in Olympia, Seattle, and elsewhere, and started to plan other events and coordinations that could occur locally in the era of Trump. We had a problem getting a room at a convenient date, so our next meeting will be at the Olympia Community Center. OMJP has committed to having movement-building events and to also help publicize and work with others who have progressive goals. So again, this is the Olympia Movement for Justice and Peace Organizing Meeting, Tuesday, April 25th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Olympia Center, 222 Columbia Street, Northwest. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Wednesday, April 26th, the author speaks, George Lakey, on Viking Economics. This will be at 6 p.m. at Orca Books, 509 4th Avenue East, and I got this message through Olympia 4. The internationally respected peace and nonviolence organizer, trainer, and writer, George Lakey, L-A-K-E-Y, speaks on Olympia about his new book, Viking Economics, which explains how Scandinavian nations created progressive economic systems several decades ago. Here the author, George Lakey, summarizes his main points from 6 to 8 p.m. at the locally owned bookstore Orca Books, 509 4th Avenue East in Olympia, where you can also buy the book. When George and Olympia 4's Glenn Anderson were emailing about this event and the role of nonviolent grassroots organizing during this time in U.S. history, George affirmed that strategy. His book describes how their economic model works now, and it also lavishes attention upon their nonviolent campaigning to get them to this point. So again, this is The Author Speaks, George Lakey on Viking Economics, Wednesday, April 26th, 6 p.m. at Orca Books, 509 4th Avenue East. And I'm afraid that that is it for the Thunderbolt this week, kids. But there is no need to throw yourself into traffic. I'll be back next week with an archive show, and in the meanwhile, I have the bonus tip of the day to help get you through. When you are making your plans, strategize for the long game. Haha, peace, and we will see you next week.
The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media. And while it is produced in cooperation with Media Island International and KOWA 106.5 in Olympia, they are in no way responsible for the content. nor do they even necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. Now, kids, if you wish to praise me, or damn me, or seduce me, or throw things at me, or if you wish to put an opposing opinion on the air, then you should send an email. You should send it to kowa@riseup.net, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day.
If you want to get involved in activism in Thurston County, you need to sign up for The Thunderbolt, your weekly email guide to everything activism in Olympia. Just send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. That's Dana, D-A-N-A, 98501, downtown Olympia zip code at gmail.com. Put sign up for the Thunderbolt in the subject line. Help us come save the world, kids.
Quick note here, I have several months worth of Thunderbolts archived at radioforall.net. That's radio number 4all.net. Simply type the Thunderbolt into the search box and enjoy.
now. On behalf of myself and our strict no refund policy, we are pleased to present for your viewing pleasure.
We don't need your thought control.
Warning.
Danger, Bill Robinson. Danger. Danger, Bill Robinson. Danger.
Remain calm. We will not tolerate civil disobedience.
Danger, Bill Robinson. Danger.
I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
They say if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, then he's got to get a fishing license, but he doesn't have any money. So he's got to get a job, and he has to get into the Social Security system and pay taxes.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
You ain't in it.
You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what
four,
to think, and
three,
what to buy.
Two, one.
Three, cue announcer. And starring the mad prophet of the airways,
Jack.
Wake up!
You're listening to KOWA 106.5 FM in Olympia, Washington.